welcome everyone to the Thursday edition of Renegade Radio, coming to you live. I always hate when the show comes on, Mark, and I have to interrupt my own show to start a new show, but hopefully our listeners will be wowed and amused by today's guest as we continue to talk with businesses that are breaking the rules of conventional thinking, doing something unique in the marketplace, stepping outside of the traditional bounds to create success inside of their organizations. Now, today, we have kind of a special show for you guys because I have a co-host in the studio with me. You might recognize him from one of our previous shows, Mr. Mark Spies from 800 Degrees. Mark, how's it going today?
It's going well. Glad to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you. Mark has a show upcoming, and we might talk about that a little bit later today that he's going to be doing here as he joins the Business Radio X family. But I thought I'd bring him in and let him ride co-host today, and hopefully you guys will enjoy some of his questions that he brings to the table. But before we get to that, Mark, let's talk about you specifically. I know you are nursing a training injury, and it's got to be driving you crazy because I know you want to get out and get on that bike. But how are things going in the recovery process?
Very slow, and I actually had acupuncture today, which I thought was voodoo science, but apparently it's the cutting edge. And had a bunch of dry needling, and this is apparently what all of the pro athletes get and why they're back out on the field so fast. So this is all new, but I'm pretty excited about it. Looks like I'll be back out there in a few weeks.
Well, I'm going to be real interested to hear about your experience from that because I've heard that myself. I've been very lucky. I haven't had any, severe injuries or anything major kind of come along, but I'm kind of like you. I'm thinking it's voodoo science. How are you going to get better putting a needle in your body? I didn't quite understand that. The only needles that went in my body that ever made me better had some drugs coming on the back end of those, right?
So, yep.
So I'm not sure, but keep us posted. I'd like to know how the experience goes.
We'll see. As a branding guy, I can appreciate that they don't call it acupuncture. They're calling it ITM, which is intramuscular manual therapy. So it sounds very technical and medical, so I accepted it as modern science, but in the end, it's acupuncture.
Well, I think if you compare the word therapy to the word puncture...
Yeah, there you go.
You get a little more buy-in off of that.
Right.
All right, well, great. Well, let's go ahead and bring our guest in here, and we are visiting with Mr. Todd Bone from XS International. Todd, welcome to the show today.
Hey, thanks.
So I was telling Todd before the show I'm extremely jealous of his name because when I noticed his email address, it is T-Bone, and I later found out that all his friends indeed do call him T-Bone. It's got to be great, Todd, going through life with a nickname like T-Bone, am I right?
I had the most nicknames in my fraternity in college. So anything from T-Boone Pickens to Shaka Bone. They get quite creative.
All right, so here's what I gather. We're going to have to put that on hold because that's going to be a whole other show,
yeah.
Mark. We're going to have him back, and we're going to have the whole college frat story,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
Well, in the meantime, let's come back to business today, and let's talk about XS International. Tell
sure.
us, Todd, a little bit about who you guys are and what do you do?
Well, we've been in business for 20 years, and in the predominantly enterprise environment, whether that be corporate enterprise or federal enterprise. Background of the company is we used to specialize in high-performance computing systems that were used from, federal agencies that were doing research to analysis of flight simulators for the Air Force and the Army, and now the drone programs. So we've worked with all of those federal contractors that have implemented those solutions into our military, and our support is on the back end of the computer and making sure that the computer's functional, can withstand some of the issues that would arise from flight and silence and anything that has to do wrapped around being stealthy and fast and utilizing high speed photography and shooting missiles. So,
well, now I'm thinking that I'm thinking of some completely alternative uses for this type thing. But let's say I don't have missile technology, and I'm certainly not allowed to fly drones around for my business, even though I mm-hmm. wish I were. Again, I'm thinking alternative uses here. But for your commercial side business, what are some of the services that you provide across the commercial platform?
Yeah. So what's come out of the the federal operations is that everything works very well together, and you don't play with it a lot to introduce new speeds, because you can start having issues with applications not being fast enough to keep up with another application on a board. So they typically standardize technology, which means that they're not into upgrades. So that is good in a certain way, because we're extending the life of large technology investments. And as an American, I'm proud to see that continues. On the commercial side, you know, you get to Cisco routers, for instance. Routers are in good shape. They're very functional. You've got some security concerns. But oftentimes, routers can perform for multiple years more than what they were originally expected to perform. And, you know, a business in that environment is at the cross of whether we're going to completely upgrade end-of-life products and put in all new products, or are we going to try and extend the life of those end-of-life products?
Now, do you guys really get in there on the consulting side as well, helping people understand, you know, should I have a router? Should I upgrade my router? Have I got too much routing capability? Do I not have enough based on the needs of my business? I mean, where do you play in there?
Yeah, definitely. We go in and consult and take a look at what the bandwidth is and see what applications are, you know, creating that bandwidth, and, you know, what's the... You know, how good a shape is the equipment in, such that, you know, can we extend it another 2, 3, 4 years?
So you're on the maintenance side as well?
Yeah, so we're on the maintenance side as well.
Now, that's a big plus, because you mentioned to me, I'll let you share with our audience, what are some of the challenges that a business owner might face in dealing with maintenance if they are going directly to the manufacturer, for example, versus working through an outsourcing company like yourself?
Well, you know, there's the... feeling of ownership. A Cisco sales rep is paid to keep accounts, and if you can't keep the accounts, then the account should be discontinuing, and let's upgrade your account. And we have the ability to provide maintenance support on Cisco and routers and switches, I think, better than what the manufacturer can do. And I say that because, you know, most of the manufacturers have outsourced their Tier 1 and Tier 2 level support. So you're calling overseas.
And that can be a very challenging thing. I mean,
you know, it's God bless America, but you've got a lot of engineers that are, you know, country good old boy, you know, brought up, and they're talking to somebody overseas, and they're not going to have the patience for somebody who doesn't speak language clearly.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's a challenge that I've run into, and I mean, maybe you can address how you guys deal with this, but when I talk to one of your guys and I'm getting support, am I getting somebody who will actually listen to what I'm saying and make a decision and feed back to me based on that? Because I feel like a lot of time when I talk to these outsourcing-style companies, they're reading me off of a script, and it really doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. They're looking for one or two keywords that I say, and then they're going to read me back a generic answer versus really listening to what my problem is.
Yeah, so first, you know, we want to make this experience a lot more efficient. We're developing a mobile app that you can actually log your case on the app. It'll have data that's saved down to your contract ID, which is you can't do anything with a contract without it. Mm-hmm. Contract ID, populate it, be able to look up what serial number that you have in question. What's the IO? You know, what's the operating system running on that serial number, and then what's the problem, and what's the location that you're in, your mobile number, and contact info, and then just send that off without making a phone call.
Okay, so that's Renegade to me. We're into the meat of what we like about breaking the rules, because you're telling me I don't have to sit on hold for hours trying to deal with this problem.
No, and you can also, if something has an issue in the field, you don't have a command module that you can get this data from, you can walk over, You can take a look at the back panel. You can take a picture. Or if you can even get commands up but you don't know what they say, you can take a quick picture. All of this can be fed to our first tier.
What are some of the services that are in highest demand right now in your industry? What are the consumers and businesses really looking for?
Overall, you know, what's hot is cloud computing. You know, there's a lot of efficiency that comes up in cloud computing. I can speak for when my business went to the cloud. We used to have eight to nine, 10 servers running in our facility. We had RAID backup. We had offsite data storage. We'd have two pipes coming in case our bandwidth was down. And, you know, we had multiple databases for not only the applications, and then we had a technical person that was, you know, reliable and communicating with the manufacturers to, if we had a problem. And we, you know, we went to an outsourcing model where we outsourced our ERP system, which also included our accounting package. That was NetSuite. Ran on a SaaS application. We were able to sign a contract and basically pay monthly. The thing I like about that is I went through too many times where ERP system upgrades were a nightmare. They cause you a lot of downtime. So once these guys have the software up and running, when they do an upgrade, it's like on a Monday, you know, or a Friday night. And by the time you come in on Monday morning, you know, you may have two glitches, but they're pretty easy to fix. So it's a very well-done upgrade path where, you know, it doesn't cost your people to be there. And the savings was tremendous because I didn't have to have an on-site trainer for, you know, our ERP system anymore. Did the same thing with Microsoft Exchange. We outsources our Exchange server and the backing up of that. And then we outsourced our content management system to HubSpot. HubSpot does SEO, web development, blog development, and just a ton of reporting. They just launched email capability, similar to like MailChimp. But it's all integrated and giving you more information based on who's using the system.
So when we talk about services that are outside of just the maintenance side of things, is this type of consulting something that you guys do help? I mean, obviously, you're outsourcing some of your pieces.
Yeah.
Are you helping some of these business owners figure those elements out as well?
We are, and we're being contacted to analyze other companies' SaaS applications that we want to bring into our environment and be able to sell. So we're analyzing some of that stuff today.
So let's go back to cloud computing for a minute. I mean, tell me, why is cloud such a buzz right now? Why are so many companies getting on board with this idea of moving to the cloud? And then, of course, a question I want to go ahead and plant in your mind behind that is, why shouldn't a company move to the cloud?
Well, you know, just think of the cloud of, instead of having your application local, it's on the cloud. Right, so you can access it from anywhere. It's secure. It's going to be more robust. It's going to be more, you know, easy to upgrade. There's simplification of upgrading.
And it's removing all the hassles of like the old VPN style of getting to your network.
Yeah, and you don't have it's just a web browser, and you don't have the people that you used to have, which, you know, I think are getting expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have to move on to other opportunities where they can, you know, it's good for them too because they've got a lot of experience and they can certainly get paid more money. But I think just, you know, there's all these ancillary benefits of, you know, now I don't have to manage servers in my facility anymore because I'm selling them off and I got rid of them. That reduces my power and cooling and just a secure frame of mind, I think, from an ownership standpoint.
Yeah, so those are probably three big things. Yeah. The security of it, the asset management, and then the personnel piece. Those are big impacts as well on bottom lines for a business. Well, that makes sense. So how about the back end of that question? are there companies out there that should not move to the cloud? Is there a reason a company should hold off or not think about that? Either it's the wrong time, they have the wrong business model. I don't know. You tell me. You're the expert in the IT arena.
You know, I think the only companies that wouldn't want to do that is due to secure information that they want to make sure that they've got a handle on it.
Help me understand that, because I mean we hear the cloud secure. So
yeah.
So what would be some of the security issues that I might have that would cause me not to go?
Your Equifax or one of these reporting agencies, your transaction processing facility that if data got loose could cause a lot of problem.
Is this written out in any of the regulatory stuff? Like, I mean, the first thing that pops in my mind would be something like HIPAA compliance.
They definitely have. I mean, we looked at a consolidation project for Equifax, and there was definitely a lot of language in there related to that. But, you know, they still have a lot of old devices that have storage on them that need to be, you know, crushed up.
So what does the company do with all of this equipment? Let's say I moved to the cloud and now mm-hmm. I've got this data center full of servers that I'm not using anymore.
Right.
What do I do with all that equipment? How do I get rid of it?
Well, you know, first you're going to analyze it, then you're going to come up with a list of equipment that's valid, that could be put into good use. The rest of the equipment will be obsolete, but still in good working order. We typically get a contract with the customer to sell off the equipment at a certain percentage.
Oh, so that's something you can help me
yes.
with then.
So I'll move it to my facility, we'll inventory it, we'll make sure, we'll check the licenses, we'll check the configurations, we'll see what warranties are still left on there, we'll price up what the demand is on the equipment, and then we try to package it up and move it pretty quickly.
If there's a secure disposal required of the equipment, is that something that you can also help me with?
Yeah, we usually recommend that on-site,
mm-hmm.
but if we don't do it on-site, we'll put it in a locked, padded van that only, you know, is transported to our warehouse.
Now, is that locked, padded van available for some of these personnel cuts that I've got to make as well? Can I put some of those people in
there?
Sure. I thought you were going to say for parties.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking, you know, I might have to get rid of some people too, you know.
That's the lure. It's the party.
Yeah, absolutely.
Come on in.
We're back to the frat story. That's how he's going to get them in the van, right?
I have a question on the cloud computing. This is a paradigm shift for a guy like me who's not a tech guy. Several years ago, we started transferring or backing up all of our data online. Mm-hmm. Happened sometime in the middle of the night. I have to trust that it did. I no longer have the little drive sitting on the desktop that also I hope that it backed everything up. So there was a bit of kind of hands-off in trusting the process that it's out there. And if I ever lose a computer, have a fire, whatever it is, I can then get the data. I'm not a tech guy, but I bought into it. It seemed to make a lot more sense.
Right.
And now even Apple is going to the cloud. And every once in a while, if you haven't updated all of your, you know, made the transfer from MobileMe to the cloud, they keep telling you, hey, you got another week. And then it's all going to the cloud. So again, as a non-tech guy, it's a big paradigm shift. Do you see that as an obstacle in your business? Or are your clients kind of the ones driving that shift? Are they early adopters, or do you still have those old school IT guys that want to be able to put their hands on the servers and know that their babies are storing that data?
Yeah, I think there's the old school IT guys that are, you know, making sure that they have a job moving forward.
Mm.
There's risks with anything, and then there's also risks with not doing anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, what we've seen is a clear intention on data center consolidation. You get all of the federal agencies out there are, you know, Department of the Interior are going from 210 to 115 by 2015, and they're projecting a savings of $1 million per year. So it's just too much savings not to go down that road. So there could be some secure methods in there to make sure that you've got, you know, a disaster recovery scenario, which I think is a good idea.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's moving. Everybody's moving. Everybody's going towards it. And if you're left behind, you're going to be left behind.
Yeah, yeah.
What are some of the more typical clients that that you would work with? I mean, if we're kind of trying to profile them, I'm thinking of our listener audience out there. If they're trying to self-identify, if they're the right people that should raise their hand and, mm-hmm. and reach out to you guys for help, what am I looking for? How do I know my business is probably in need of your services?
Oh, you've got a data center can be as small as a bunch of computers in a closet, right?
Which is very typical for most businesses.
That's a data center. If you've got a lot of data centers, and they're looking a little bit ragged and tacky, that's one side. If you've got multiple facilities and you question why, you know, it's an easy question. Why is that data center over there and this one's over here? You know, it's better to be in the same environment. You're going to be less real estate. You can do server consolidation, virtualization, knock down the number of hardware servers that you have, reduce the cooling. It's a more secure package to put it all together. If you have multiple locations outside of a city, you should be looking at what are we doing for data center consolidation, because you've got a lot of redundancy on internet connectivity that it is in probably each of the facilities, and you're in effect double paying for or triple paying for the same service. So there's a lot of there's a lot of areas that of waste. We're typically working with we work with the Georgia Tech data center folks down here. We've done 10 moves for them. I think they appreciate us because we're very thorough. We're used to dealing in high performance computing. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, you also have to look at who you hire. Have they been involved with a lot of Intel based systems? Or if you run into a company like us that has experience with HPC systems, cluster boxes run in Linux, HPUX, HP products, you know, all of these proprietary operating systems, a lot of those guys will say, well, I don't know what to do with this, where we've done that for years.
Well, it sounds like you guys have the right services, and definitely sounds like you have the expertise and the mm-hmm. background to be able to work with companies through this process. And I love some of the ideas, like I said, the Renegade thought of, hey, I'm going to have a mobile app so you don't have to sit on hold for hours, which is of great benefit to businesses. How do you get that message out there to them? I mean, I have no doubt that if you could sit down and talk to all the business owners in Atlanta, they'd love the story. It'd be compelling. But how do you get them to raise their hand and go, yep, that's us?
Yeah, so we're working on some programs. First of all, half of our business is federal related. So if you could imagine, we have about 7 or 8 databases of federal opportunities that we get leads from every day. They're RFQs. So it takes a while to look through all of those RFQs to see what would be the right fit.
Has the economy affected that just with budget changes going on?
Yeah, it's been slow coming out.
Has it?
Yeah. It's they're talking about the tsunami of contracts that are going to be coming out by, you know, between now and the end of September.
It's funny. It's a little counterintuitive though, right? Because they tend to cut back on funding for programs that are actually designed to cut costs and save money.
Yeah.
It's a little counterintuitive to me that they do that.
So we've seen a little bit of a slowdown there. The commercial entities have well documented a lot of cash, and I think that they've been looking. They're kind of moving based on what the markets are doing, but we're starting to get to where things are moving this month. I think our guys are probably busier this month than they've been all year.
What about the commercial side of things? Are you seeing the same type of budget pullbacks on the commercial side, or is there more engagement in that market?
We're seeing a lot of cost-cutting measures. One of our hot things that we're doing right now is we're doing a webinar to teach people about, you know, what the differences are in our services versus the manufacturer services. What would be the TCO savings over not just a year but multiple years, and things that you need to think about, you know, when you transfer services. You know, we recommend that if you're going to go with a third party next year, get all of your software updates up to par before you leave. That makes it easier for you. But we're also training them how they can still have licenses to this equipment. And under Cisco's licensing rules, Cisco has to give them updates. And we help facilitate those updates for them.
And that's important, because if I've got multiple vendors, I mean, some of these companies have dozens of vendors inside of their organizations.
Yeah.
Without a resource like you, what are they doing? Reaching out to them individually?
Yeah.
That's quite an undertaking.
We can have it all come in on one contract. Our contracts are a little bit different. Usually when you buy a contract from Cisco, you buy it on an item, and it's 1 year, and it's paid in full. If you cancel, tough luck. We take on contracts. We want a one-year contract, but you can add and delete coterminously. So if a product falls off, then we've only charged you for 1 month. And we won't charge you again for that product. So I think that's the nicer way to do business. It's, you know, it can be quite frustrating working with a manufacturer for multiple equipments and, you know, handling contracts where they all end at the same time, or they don't.
Right.
Most of them don't end at the same time.
Well, let me ask you this. I always like to capture the renegade moment of the show, and you kind of gave me some of it, I think, with the mobile app. I really liked that. But tell us about your company. I mean, what makes you stand out? What are you guys doing differently than everybody else? Or maybe, and this could be internally or externally, but where do you guys really kind of defy the conventional norms to drive business success?
Well, I think it comes from a long-standing performance history that it is indisputable. And we've worked with a number of agencies on older products that they had to keep running. And where the original manufacturer just wanted to end the life of it and just said, sorry, you're gonna have to buy new stuff. So we became very dependable, and we've got this following. And it's the manufacturers don't like to lose revenue money. That's very high profitability money for them. So they've got their own associations where they are, putting out, we call it FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt in the industry, right? If you get a product from a vendor and it didn't come through Cisco, it could be counterfeit, right? Well, it's interesting that they would say that, because based on an FBI 2008 report that analyzed counterfeit Cisco equipment, the FBI found that counterfeit equipment was being sold into federal agencies directly from the manufacturer, because they had counterfeit items within the products, directly from the authorized distributors, directly through the authorized gold and silver resellers, who were going off trying to get a couple extra dollars and buying some smaller parts to win the contract. And there was independent resellers, which they lumped us in with, most of which in the FBI report came off of eBay, right? So I don't know why a federal agency is buying off of eBay when there's a company like my company who's been in business for 20 years. We have a GSA schedule for this product, and we've been vetted. That's a vetting process, and we've got a clear performance history.
About the only thing I could say that might justify that even slightly, Todd, is call it a victory of cost savings. I remember when I was in the IT world a number of years ago, we had a theft problem at the company that I was at, and people were literally just walking out the door with Cisco equipment. And, of course, we'd have to buy new equipment to replace it. And I remember telling my manager at the time, I said, you know, we could go on eBay and buy our own equipment back cheaper.
That's great.
Because that's where it's at. I mean, you know, it's walking out the door and it's showing up on eBay. Maybe we should just buy our own routers back instead of going to get new ones. But, no, for peace of mind and security, though, you're absolutely right.
So, you know, and I understand. Anytime counterfeit ends up in our industry, it's very frustrating.
Sure.
Because it clouds the picture of what's this and what's that. So it's, you know, we have two associations that are fighting that type of language. The OEMs have made some anti-competitive statements that are out there, and they've gotten burned on it a couple times. There's been an out-court settlement with MultiVen in 2 years ago from Cisco, that where Cisco said, no, you can get software support without having a Cisco SmartNet contract. IBM just got nailed over in Europe, where the European Union said you can't bundle hardware and software support from a maintenance standpoint. And if you do, here's what your penalties are going to be. So there's been some positive things in the industry, but it's, you know, it slows things down.
I understand. Well, kind of taking the other approach, too, we're talking about slowing things down. Let's talk about things that speed things up. So I want to shift topic just a little bit. I know you were recently involved in the entrepreneur organization, the EO Nerve, here in Atlanta. So maybe you can share a little bit about your experience with that. What is it, and what was your involvement there?
Sure. EO has 8,500 members worldwide. To get in, you've got to have $1 million in revenue or higher. And we also have an accelerator program that starts at $250,000 and up. And, you know, the theme behind the organization was not a networking organization, but yet a peer-to-peer learning group where you could get with other entrepreneurs, learn together, and then learn from them and create this network of go-to people. I was driving up the street today, and I'm thinking about doing a TCO app, and I contacted a friend that was in EO who had done something similar with an overseas developer. So it's just, you know, those types of, you know, networking communications that you have. We're also tied with probably the more famous YPO and CEO in a database of knowledge. So you can access those folks. On a monthly basis, members break up in groups of 6 to 12, and they meet, discuss issues that you're having in your business. It's kind of like being with a board of advisors every month, which is a tremendous value. And then there's, on a local value, you can go to, we put learning events on, where we bring people in, you know, we'll do some socials just for additional FaceTime networking. And then we do a regional party every year. It's a conference, and we also do two international conferences every year. So the feedback we get from members that go to the regional, just outside of the chapter, is they're 8 times more likely to renew in the next year. And I knew that we weren't going to have an international university here in Atlanta, and I thought having it as a smaller organization would be much better, and we ended up getting a turnout of 450 entrepreneurs from the East Coast, and we brought them in, and we did a 3-day conference at the Lowe's Hotel, which was followed up by great meals afterwards. And we brought in some very interesting, unique speakers like the Winklevoss twins from The Social Network, talk about their experience with Zuckerberg and things they might have done differently.
Did you call them Winklevi?
Winklevoss.
Well, no, I'm saying, you remember in The Social Network, yeah, right? Yeah. You know, Mark referred to them as the Winklevi. Yeah. So I was just curious if you referred to them that way.
You know, those guys are really cool.
Are they?
Yeah. they were, you know, it was, we asked some questions of, you know, do you still have Facebook? And they're like, listen, we love Facebook. We just don't like the ownership.
Right.
And how it all came about. But, you know, I mean, they're going to make a ton of money off of it.
I think some things in the stock market indicate some people don't like the ownership, but that's a whole other show topic. Yeah.
So, and then we had the, just as a, you know, a feature set, we had the three Iranian hikers that got taken.
Oh, really?
Where they let the one gal go away, and then they finally, 2 years later, let the guys go away. So both of these were having their first-time keynote speakers. We had Dharma Shah, who was the co-founder of HubSpot, which is a service that I use, and they're second fastest-growing Fortune 100 software company.
Just to back up a step, too, I want to clarify things for our listeners that are listening, because this is an organization that is, you know, we hear a lot in Atlanta about the startup community, but this is not a startup entrepreneur organization, even though you do have an accelerator program.
Yeah.
This is really for businesses that have reached some level of establishment, so they may have been in business for some period of time, but they're looking to associate with other entrepreneurial-based business owners through either functioning their existing business or maybe growing a new line of business. Is that right?
That's right. And, you know, when I first started up my first business, most of my friends were working for companies. And, you know, when you have a question come up of, hey, this vice president wants this compensation package with, you know, so many stock options, I can't go to my friend because he's not going to know what the hell I'm talking about. So, you know, what it was to help members to be able to have conversations that are extremely relative to what they deal with on a daily basis and create an open environment such that they could do that.
And are you able to keep that environment? I know the startup community has really turned towards this to try to keep a lot of the, and nothing against service providers. I run a professional service business myself, but sometimes they can really muddy the waters because they're in there trying to sell versus help. Are you able to kind of keep some of the service providers?
Yeah, there's no solicitation policy, and you're immediately gone. And we also have, you know, everything's confidential. So if you lose that, it's, and we have those reminders before discussions too.
That's awesome. Well, let's do this. Let's wrap up with a couple of pieces of contact information. Number one, let's talk about EO. If people want to be involved there and think that might be a good fit from them, how could they participate in the entrepreneur organization?
Well, they can contact EO Global is eonetwork.org, and that's probably the best place to start. I'll give you a local EO number.
Are there some events coming up while you're looking that up? Are there events coming up in Atlanta anytime soon?
Yes. There's a, and this is our transition. So during June, July is usually when the boards transition from one board to the next.
Okay.
Okay, I'll find that after your next question.
All right. Well, the next question, let's go ahead, because this contact information you should know right off the top of your head. If people want to reach out and find out if XS International is a good fit for them and talk about some outsourcing or maintenance plans or consulting in that nature, how would they go about getting in touch with you there?
Sure. They can either contact sales at xsnet.com or tbone at xsnet.com.
I don't know about you, Mark, but given the choice between sales and T-bone, I'm going T-bone. I'm going T-bone all
day. If you're hungry, go for the T-bone.
Yeah, I'm going to email you just for the fun of emailing T-bone, because I think that's pretty cool. All right. Well, if you get that information there, let us know if you got it.
Yeah, you can contact Rhonda Suttle, S-U-T-T-L-E, at eoatlanta.com.
All right. Well, I hope some of you out there listening have been able to take away some things today to help your organization grow and find success by thinking outside of that proverbial box a little bit and getting down around some entrepreneurs that are doing the same type of things, such as at the EO conference, might be a really good thing. So hopefully they'll reach out there. And if you're trying to get your computers and your data centers consolidated and you're just frustrated with maintenance and outsourcing to overseas organizations, then give Todd a call, email T-Bone, and go down and talk to the guys at XS International. Todd, I want to thank you for being on the show today and sharing some great information with us.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
And Mark, you did a fantastic job riding along today. I appreciate you being here, and I'm looking forward to hearing some details about your show coming up. I mean, can you throw a breadcrumb or two at us? I know that you're still keeping a little close to the chest about the show, but maybe give us a nugget or two of what you're going to be about.
Ideally, it's going to be about business in Atlanta and leaning towards how businesses are dealing with the change that they're facing, whether it's marketing-related, social media-related, things that are weren't happening 5 years ago, and they're definitely going to be facing in the years to come.
Which is a big thing with businesses right now, because it is changing. The environment is very dynamic, and it's a different day almost every day, much less, you used to could set a plan and play for 10 years and not worry about it. Now you really got to be on your toes.
Yeah, I get that no matter where you are in your life, it seems like things are changing more now than they were before. But I think we can actually go back and look at historical data and see that it is every year. And Todd, you may know there's some law that dictates that, how fast technology, it exponentially changes. In
Moore's law.
There's the one, yeah. And so I think we really are seeing things change at a much faster mm-hmm. pace. And whether you're in manufacturing, marketing, sales, you've got to adapt just on a constant basis.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to that show. So we're probably looking, one, maybe 2 weeks before that show launches then?
Something like that.
We'll keep the audience posted. So you guys keep an eye out for Mark from 800 Degrees. He'll be a new host here on the show shortly. I'll always be here with you Thursdays at noon on Renegade Radio. We'll be out here talking about how companies are getting outside of that proverbial box and creating success. And remember, guys, opportunity lies in the impossible. But you've got to be willing to break the rules of conventional thinking. Until next time.